Right. Time is a little bit flexible, but not ultimately flexible. So this is going to be a slightly more potted version of what I was going to say, because we've heard some great stuff, which I think feeds into this phrase that we have in 2 Corinthians. So do just turn up 1164, 1165, actually 1166. So find a Bible. I'm just going to read from verses 7 through to 10, just to remind us and bring us up to date for those of us who weren't here. Page 1166, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 10. This is St. Paul speaking. He says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surprisingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a message from Satan to torment me. Three times I asked from the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Now, my response to this reading is it's great to read it, it's less fun to live it. Isn't it? Yeah? And I've got three C's for you this morning: control, confidence, and community. The first two, you could argue, are negative things, and the final one is the one that rescues us within that. We live, if you're anything like me, and I'm just offering my psychosis to you at this point, we live lives of wanting to be in control, don't we? I would argue. We want to be in charge of what we're doing, where we're going, what's happening around us. We want to be in control. And yet what St. Paul is describing here, in the context of this thorn in his flesh, which we don't know much about, is a life where he couldn't control an aspect of what was going on for him. It was beyond him. And when he asked the Lord said, "You need it," as a reminder that control is not always good for you. Indeed, actually, the reverse of that is he invited into a place of dependence. "My grace is sufficient for you." We'll get back to that bit in the last. So control is the first word. The second word, beginning with C, I've got for you this morning, is confidence. It's allied to this control word, because we often put our confidence on our capacity, ability, and experience. That's a very Southeast culture thing. It's a very Cheam, Burheath, Nork thing, if I might. Very particular to our community. But let me say to you, and I say to myself, and I don't like this either, can I say, we're not always going to win. We're not always going to be successful. We're not always going to be strong. We're not even going to be always healthy. We may not even be always wise. Or some combination of all of the above all of the time. And that's just the truth of life, isn't it? Much as we may rail against that. So where does that take us? Well, actually, we see here in this text Paul saying, "I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." Interestingly, The thing that he is confident about is not his ability, but Christ's. We so badly get that one twisted, if I might. And I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody else here. Okay. How do we deal with this control, confidence, peace that we live with? And that battle for supremacy, really, in our lives. Us, Christ. Us, Christ. Who's driving the car? I know I'd much prefer to drive the car, thank you, and not be in the passenger seat. And often dependency is given us, and it was given Paul, St. Paul, in order to allow us the joy of dependency and confidence in Christ, not ourselves. And clearly it's a joy, by the way that he describes it in this text. His phrase, which we hear often, and I think we put on posters, but we want it to remain on a poster, rather than a statement over our lives, is this: my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Let me just look at grace for just a moment or two through the eyes of the prodigal son story, or even you could describe as the prodigal God story. I wonder what went through that young man's mind as he was rehearsing his story, his words, when he was going back towards the father. I wonder what he was expecting to receive from the father in that story. Justice? Quite possibly. That he would be treated with justice. He would be given a massive clip around the ear and treated as a slave, because that's what he was deserving. Is that a picture of grace? No. It could be that he was expecting at best from his father mercy. Not a clip round the ear and not to be treated like a slave, but to be treated with mercy. And that is, well, I'll take you on as a hired hand like you asked. But treated with suspicion. Treated never quite to be trusted again. The outrageous nature of God's love in that story is one of grace. The Father comes running, enfolds his pig-smelling child in arms of love, puts shoes on his feet, his filthy, blistered, broken feet, a ring on his finger and a robe on his back, and throws a community party to bring him home. He readdresses all of the ills and covers them. You see, that's grace in action, utterly undeserved love. It's such a beautiful picture. And what we are told here is, my grace is sufficient for you. Jesus' cross, his death and resurrection, is sufficient for us. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to win all the time or be successful, or be strong, or be healthy, or even be wise. It does mean that we'll be a member of the family. It does mean that we'll be loved. It does mean that we'll be welcomed home. It does mean that we'll know God as Father. It does mean that we know that we've got a home to go to for all eternity. So, my friends, God's grace is sufficient for us. And his power is made obvious in our weakness. So two things. One, can we stop pretending that we've got it all together all the time? Because let's say, you know, just have one of those little truth moments. We're very good at pretending, and most of us haven't got it together all of the time. It's just the truth of it. We are literally cracked pots. And it's God's love that flows through us. And second thing is, this is for Christ's sake. The why of suffering is difficult. And I can't pretend in just a few moments to begin to unpack that. But our dependency on Christ and our weakness is for his sake and is never wasted. It's never wasted if we name him in it and rely on him within it. Some of the most moving conversations I ever had are with those people right in the heart of a storm, who, despite all that they're experiencing, choose to say, Jesus is Lord. It's extraordinary. And it's at that point you can see brokenness being repaired with gold and God's glory shining through. Let's pray.